The Catra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Catra AI.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a step back, a really big step back, actually, about 6 billion kilometers.
Yeah, we're diving into Carl Sagan's Pale Blue Dot, a vision of the human future in space. It's foundational stuff.
Absolutely. And our goal today for you is, well, pretty straightforward. We want to get to the heart of Sagan's argument here.
What's his take on humanity's place in the universe? And maybe more importantly, what does that mean for us? You know, ethically, practically?
It feels incredibly relevant right now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You look around at all the friction, the tribalism, the focus on just the immediate future.
And Sagan saw it coming. The source material really stresses this. He wasn't just talking about space exploration.
No, he saw the cosmic perspective as, well, maybe the only real antidote to our worst habits, our self-destructive tendencies. So let's talk about Sagan himself for a moment. Carl Sagan, 1934 to 1996. An astronomer, planetary scientist, but just an incredible communicator.
Right, a Cornell professor. Wrote Cosmos, Contact, books that reached millions. He made science accessible, exciting even.
And he wasn't just an academic talking about space. He was deeply involved, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. He was right there with NASA, working on the Mariner missions, Viking, Voyager. He was helping guide those robots exploring the solar system.
Which makes his perspective on this particular book, Pale Blue Dot, even more powerful. Because the central image, that famous photo, that was his idea.
It was. Our notes point out he really had to push for it. For years, actually, starting back in 81.
To get NASA to turn Voyager 1's camera around.
Yep.
Just before it left the solar system.
Exactly. In 1990, for one last look back at Earth and that photo, it's just this tiny, tiny point of light.
The pale blue dot. And it clearly changed everything for him. It made his message feel less like science and more like prophecy, almost. Urgent.
Yeah, and that urgency is right at the core of the book's thesis. Sagan's saying, look, we have to change how we see ourselves.
Seeing Earth from that distance, that isolation, it shouldn't make us despair.
No, quite the opposite. It should make us appreciate this planet more fiercely, see ourselves as one human family, and understand we have a duty to, well, both preserve Earth and explore beyond it.
So the book takes you on this journey, right? Starts with that really personal, emotional reflection on the photo.
Then it walks us through history, these moments he calls the great demotions, where science showed us we weren't the center of everything.
Then a tour of the solar system, not just for sightseeing, but for lessons.
Right. And it all builds up to this powerful case for why we need to become a multiplanetary species for survival.
It's aimed at everyone, really.
Yeah.
It wants to give you that sense of wonder, sure, but also humility and ultimately responsibility.
Yeah, putting our short existence against, you know, cosmic time and space, it really clarifies what's at stake.
Okay, so let's dive deeper. The first part really focuses on that perspective shift from the photo itself. Seeing Earth from so far away, what does that do to our sense of self-importance?
It kind of demolishes it, doesn't it? Sagan hammers this point home. Everything that has ever happened in human history.
Every king, every battle, every invention, every mother, every child.
All of it. On what he calls a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam.
It makes our conflicts, our borders, our tribal squabbles seem, well, absurd, almost pathetic from that vantage point.
And he connects this directly to scientific discovery throughout history, these great demotions you mentioned.
Right. It wasn't just one moment, but a series. Copernicus, Kepler, Galileo. They showed we weren't the physical center.
Then later, thinkers like Darwin showed we weren't the biological center either. We're part of life's web, not its pinnacle.
Exactly. And Sagan saw science as this candle in the dark, gradually helping us overcome our biases and see reality more clearly, a more mature viewpoint.
So once he's established this kind of cosmic humility, he pivots towards the future, using the solar system tour as like case studies for Earth.
Yeah, and Venus is the big flashing warning light. A true cautionary tale.
He talks about how Venus might have been Earth-like once, oceans, maybe a tolerable climate.
Exactly. But then a runaway greenhouse effect took hold. Now it's hellish. Hot enough to melt lead, sulfuric acid clouds.
It's Sagan basically screaming, pay attention to your planet's climate. This is what can happen.
But it's not all doom and gloom. There's Mars.
Right. Mars is presented as the next logical step, the most promising place for humans to maybe eventually set up a second home. A challenge.
And that challenge ties directly into why he argues space exploration isn't some optional luxury, it's a necessity.
He lays out several key reasons. The first one is just basic survival, right?
Yep, planetary defense. Think about the dinosaurs. An asteroid or comet impact could absolutely happen again. We need an insurance policy, a lifeboat, an off-world presence.
Makes sense. What's the second point?
Unity. This was really interesting. He suggested that a huge common goal, like settling Mars,
could channel our competitive, even aggressive, energies outward instead of fighting each other.
Exactly. Uniting the warring tribes of Earth against a shared monumental challenge, sort of a grand positive distraction from our internal conflicts.
That's a really hopeful idea. But, you know, history shows new frontiers often become new battlegrounds. Did he wrestle with that, the risk of just exporting our conflict?
He did acknowledge the risk, yeah. But his hope was that the sheer scale and difficulty of something like establishing a Mars colony or terraforming, it would force long-term international cooperation.
Because no single nation could realistically do it alone, especially over generations.
Right. He believed the shared reward survival knowledge would ultimately have to trump nationalism in that context. It's a big ask, but that was the vision.
Okay. And his final justification.
That's the exploratory imperative. It's almost philosophical or maybe biological. He argued that exploration is just in us. It's part of our DNA.
We come from people who migrated, who wandered, who pushed over the next hill.
Yeah. And that stifling, that innate drive, leads to stagnation. Society just kind of loses its vitality. Space is simply the next frontier we're compelled to explore.
So stepping back again, what are the really big core messages that stick with you after engaging with this book?
Well, number one has to be that cosmic perspective as an antidote to hubris. It's a mental tool. You think about that dot, and suddenly borders seem imaginary, conflicts seem petty.
It forces a global consciousness, doesn't it? You're not just from one place, you're from this place, this fragile blue dot.
Exactly, which leads straight into the second theme, the dual imperative, explore space and preserve Earth.
They're two sides of the same coin. Seeing Earth from space makes you realize how precious and unique it is, so you must protect it.
But that same perspective shows its vulnerability, which means for long-term survival, we probably can't keep all our eggs in this one basket.
It's about securing the home base while also building the lifeboat.
Precisely. And that lands us on theme three, humanity as a transitional species. Sagan saw us at this critical moment in history.
A crossroads. We have the power to destroy ourselves.
Through war or environmental neglect.
Yeah.
Or we have the power to transcend our limitations and become a multiplanetary species.
And our generation right now bears the weight of that choice. Which path do we take? It's a heavy thought.
It really is. And Sagan captured these huge ideas in some incredibly memorable lines. The book is full of them.
Let's share a couple. The most famous one, describing the photo.
Look again at that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam.
It just hits you, doesn't it? The scale, the insignificance, but also the incredible preciousness of that single point. All of us, right there.
And then there's the line that connects the science directly to how we should live.
Yeah. It has been said that astronomy is a humbling and character-building experience.
To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we have ever known.
That's the ethical takeaway, crystal clear. The science leads directly to a moral conclusion. Be kind. Take care of this place. It's our only one so far.
So how can you, listening now, actually use these ideas? Well, on a personal level, that image. It's like instant perspective therapy.
Totally. Yeah. Feeling stressed, anxious, caught up in some minor drama. Just picture that pale blue dot.
Right. It helps you sort the truly big problems from the everyday annoyances. It can bring a sense of calm, weirdly enough.
And then thinking bigger socially. The book is a call for long-term thinking.
Yes. Moving beyond the next election cycle or the next quarterly report. Thinking on the scale of civilizations of the species.
Whether it's environmental policy or scientific investment or even how we treat each other globally, it pushes you towards that wider planetary identity over a narrow tribal one.
For me, the final takeaway is that duality. We're, you know, cosmically tiny, almost nothing in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
And yet, because life like ours seems so rare, we're also incredibly precious. That viewpoint isn't just for astronomers or philosophers. It's vital for everyone living on this planet.
Yeah, and what really sticks with me is that idea of the exploratory imperative as being baked into us, that it's not just some modern tech project.
It's an ancient impulse.
Exactly. We're descended from wanderers, stifling that urge to see what's over the horizon. Sagan argues that leads to decline. Space isn't just out there, it's the next place we're fundamentally driven to go.
It's a powerful message, a plea for wisdom, for foresight, but ultimately it's quite optimistic about what humans could achieve.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.